so much because we have your word in our hands, because we can learn from you wherever we are. As we come together in this moment of in this worship service, as we are going to study your word together, we ask once again your Holy Spirit to be with us. Help us to understand better this amazing, wonderful love that you have for us. And thank you so much, Father, for being with your church. The church is not the building. The church is the people when we come together to worship you. And I ask your blessings upon your people, upon your church this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our message today is titled, Experiencing God's Love. And this is a very broad topic, so it's impossible to cover in just one message. It's a very overwhelming subject for one message. So there is so much in the Bible about love, the love of God, that I think it's impossible for us to totally comprehend it, even if we spend our lifetime studying the Bible, trying to understand all different aspects of God's love. And I like what Pastor A.W. Tozer, so he was a pastor in the first part of the 20th century, and he said that, I can no more do justice to this awesome and wonderful topic than a child can grasp a star. Still, by reaching toward the star, the child may call attention to it and even indicate the direction one must look to see it. And so, I stretch my heart toward the high, shining love of God so that we may be encouraged to look up and have hope. So, we will never understand, comprehend totally the love of God for us. So this is going to be the subject of our study throughout the eternity. And even though, like even spending all that time trying to understand the love of God to send his son to this world, with our much brighter mind, perfect, like away from sin, even in those circumstances, we are going just to scratch the surface. And in John chapter 3:16, it's our text for today. So we're going to spend pretty much all our time in this verse in the last in the next 30 minutes. Because we see here in a nutshell, like this idea of God's love. So and John chapter 3 verse 16, as just Craig just read for us, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So depending on the version, you have 24 words in this sentence. So we don't have many words here, but it contains a message packed here with the message of the love of God for us. So, and I will try this morning to spend this some time unpacking this verse. So from this verse, we can find seven truths about the love of God. And the first one is that the love of God is unconditional. And we see that in the first part of this verse when it says, for God so loved the world. What world is Jesus talking about in this verse? So the word here for world is cosmos, which means the ungodly multitude. It's the whole mass of men and women alienated from God, therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. So this is the world that God loved. So it doesn't say here that God loved the good guys. It doesn't say here that God loved only the church, or only the Jews, or only the saints. It says here that God so loved the world. So that God should love the world only heightens the mystery of this love. So we were to imagine a pristine world fresh from the hands of the Creator, uninfected by evil. We could more easily comprehend God's desire to save it, to love it. But this is not the world that Jesus is describing in this verse. It's a world that failed to recognize its maker, according to John chapter 1, verse 10. It's a world that hated his approach to it, according to John chapter 15, verse 18. So it seems to be a very poor choice to love this world. So based on that, so we can say that God clearly, his love is not based on our spiritual condition or our moral predisposition. It's not based on our behavior or our attitude toward him. So rather, we see here that God's love for mankind is universal, unconditional. So he loves everyone. And this is one of the things that sets him apart from all the other gods held up by every other religion in the world. So there was a religious conference, scholars, bright minds, they were debating. So what is so unique about Christianity that sets Christianity apart from the other religions? And someone said, well, that's easy. So what sets the Christianity apart from other religions is the concept of incarnation. God coming to this world in human form. But then someone said, well, other religions also believe that God appears in human form. And another suggested, another person suggested, so how about resurrection? That the belief that death is not the final word. That the tomb was found empty. And someone said, well, other religions have accounts of people who were raised from the dead, returned from the dead. So, and that was the time that C.S. Lewis, a great theologian, British theologian, walked into the room. He was going to participate in this conference with his presentation. So he sat down and he was getting ready when he started listening to that debate that now was a frisky conversation debate. And finally he said, when there was a pause, so what are you guys debating about? And everyone turned to him and said, well, we're debating about what is unique about Christianity. And he said, well, that's easy. It's grace. So, and that's the concept that sets Christianity apart from all the other religions. Grace. And he continued saying that Christianity uniquely claims God's love comes free of charge, no strings attached. And no other religion in this world can make that claim. So, Buddhists, for example, follow an eightfold path to enlightenment. So it's not free ride. So you have to do things. Hindus believe in karma. That your actions continually affect the way that the world will treat you. That there is nothing that comes to you not set by motion, set in motion by your actions. So everything is about what you do. And even the Jewish code, the way that the Jewish people understood the Old Testament, it was that God had requirements for people to be acceptable to him. And the same thing with Islam. So for Islam, God is a God of judgment, not a God of love. So we live to appease him. And at the end of that discussion, everyone understood that C.S. Lewis had a point. So only Christianity dares to proclaim that God's love is unconditional. Unconditional. And we call this unconditional love of God grace. Christians boldly proclaim that grace really has precious little to do with us, our inner resolve or our lack of inner resolve. Rather, grace is about God and God freely giving to us the gift of forgiveness, of mercy, and of love. So God's love for us is unconditional. As someone said, there is nothing that we can do to make God love us more. And there is nothing that we can do to make us to make God love us less. So, and that's the first point here, the first truth that we find about God's love in this verse. And the second one is that the love of God is sacrificial. For God so loved the world that he gave. Sacrificial. He gave. According to a footnote in the English Standard Version of the Bible, so John chapter 3, verse 16 is translated as follows. For this is how God loved the world. So how did God love us? How did God love the world? So he loved us by giving, by serving, by sacrificing. So here we learn something important about the nature of true love. And some people think that they love others because of what the other people do for them or how they make them feel. But God shows us that true love has nothing to do with other people do for us, but it's about what we can do for other people. And many times without expecting nothing back. So, and what is the result of such a sacrificial love? So, and the Bible says in many verses, this idea is a transaction. So a transaction happens as the result of God's sacrificial love. So we are sinners, we're in debt, we have a huge debt in our account. But the Bible says that somehow because of this gift of God, so our sinners are taken from us and put on Jesus. And his righteousness, it doesn't stop there. So it's the good news is more than that. It's not only about the forgiveness of God, but his righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus comes upon us. So God not only forgives us in our sins, but he also gives us his righteousness, a new life. A transformed life. And that is the result of this sacrificial love of God. But then he continues. The truth number three. That the love of God is valuable. God so loved the world that he gave. His only. Only. So here we have the value of God's love for us. Not only was his will to give, but we see here that he was willing to give the only one that he had. The only one. When you give someone out of your abundance, it's one thing. But when you give to someone out of your poverty, so it's quite different. So if you have several cars, and you decided to give one to someone who has none, that's very noble. But if you have one and you give that one, so that's beyond the call of duty. So, and that is called real sacrifice. So how many times have you, maybe like as a child, have heard or even yourself said, I cannot give you that because that's the only one that I have. It could be a cookie, could be anything. But probably you have said that many times. I cannot give you that. That's the only one that I got. But we learn here that God did not have a backup plan. So he didn't have a spare. He loved us so much that he was willing to give the only one that he had. So can you imagine God giving the only one that he had? And that brings us to the fourth truth that we have in this verse. So God's love is personable. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God's love is not merely some abstract concept. It's not philosophy. It's not just a theological idea. So God's love is manifest in the world through the person of Jesus Christ, the only Son of the Father. So Jesus Christ came to this world to reveal to us the love of God in human form. Something that would be impossible for us to have a good understanding, except if God himself would come to this world to show himself in human form. So a child was once trying to quote John chapter 3, verse 16 from the King James Version, which says, his only begotten son. But he misquoted, and he said, his only forgotten son. And I think there is a truth on that. Because for many people, Jesus is forgotten today. So his love is forgotten, his sacrifice is forgotten, his life is forgotten. And it is our job as Christians to remember people about this amazing love. So we are God's ambassadors in this world. So it's our mission as a church to show to people, to remind people of this love. So there is a story about a man. So let's call him Joe. So he was a drunk. And somehow he was converted in a street outreach mission. And before his conversion, he had a reputation of being hopeless, a hopeless cause. So because of his character, because of everything that he had done. But following his conversion to Christ, everything changed. He was a new person. And Joe became the most caring person in that mission. So he spent his entire day there helping people, doing whatever was necessary to keep that place clean and to help people. So there was no task that was beneath him. So whether it was cleaning up the vomit of some alcoholic that came to that place or cleaning a toilet, he was willing to do anything. And one day, the director of that mission was preaching to that group of drunks, alcoholics. And he made an invitation for people to accept Jesus, to give their lives to Jesus. And one of those men decided to stand, to come to the front, to kneel before the pulpit. And he was crying and just praying, God, please help me to be like Joe. Help me to be like Joe. And the speaker very quietly came to him and said, so I think it'd be better for you to pray, help me to be like Jesus. And that man, who had no knowledge, no understanding, deep understanding of who Jesus was, he just said, is he like Joe? So this is a true for us as well. So we are Jesus' face for many people that have no idea about who God is. So we are his hands. And they are going to know, they are going to learn more about Jesus only if we show them through our character. So are you living your life in such a way that you're reminding people of the only forgotten Son of God? So, and God's love is personable for two different reasons at least. The first one is because it was made manifest through a person. It's personal. It's personable because it was manifest through a person, Jesus Christ. So God became human being. That's very personable. But there is a second reason why this love of God is so personable. It's also personable because it bestowed on a person, you. So you and I. So we are the face of Christ, of God's love in this world. We are his ambassadors. And the truth number five about the love of God, according to John chapter 3, verse 16, is that God's love is accessible. that whoever believes in him, as the verse says. So, and that's really good news about the love of God, because it's not limited to a select few. It's not available to only to those who are born with the right color of skin, or with the correct, were born on the correct continent or country. So, and it is not difficult to obtain. It's not reserved only for the intellectual elite or to the rich people of the world. No, the love of God is accessible to whoever believes in Jesus. So from the human perspective, when you compare God to the other gods of other religions in this world, so you have to say that God is different. So our God is different. He's the only one. But human beings, we created so many other gods. But he is different from any idea of God in this world, because he uses the most common people. The people, they are not any different from any one of us. He comes in the most common ways. When his spirit came to a young woman, they was found of a child. And then the stranger thing is that he comes at all. He is not the above us God, the too holy to come down to this world. This God's love is so immense that he wants to come down. And he has proven his love by the fact that he did come down and touched our ground. He came to our level. He became one of us. So this is God in human flesh. So, and he came to our level, not in the sense that he has lessened his holiness or lowered his standards, but only in the sense that he has made his love accessible to the average, to the ordinary people, just like you and I. So he is not a distant God who loves us from some mystical, far away place that is completely removed from us. No, that's not the God that we serve. That's not the God that we love. Rather, he has entered into our world, and he longs to enter into our lives. So that's how close God wants to be. So, and the question is, will we believe in his son, Jesus, who made the ultimate expression of God's love by giving his life on the cross for our sins? So that's the question that we need to answer. Are we accepting this amazing love of God who came to this world, who is accessible to anyone? And the truth number 6 in this verse is that God's love is no judgmental. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe in him should not perish. So God's goal in sending his son is that no one should perish. God's goal in sending his son from heaven to earth was not to condemn the world or to show how bad we are, how unworthy we are, how hopeless we are. God's only desire in sending his son, according to this verse, was to show his love and to draw us into a love relationship with him, with himself. So Jesus did not come into the world in order to rebuke us. He came to rescue us. He did not come to criticize us. He came to cleanse us. He did not come to punish us. He came to forgive us. Not to destroy, but to deliver. So, however, this does not mean that God is not a God of judgment. For there is a huge difference between recognizing right and wrong and being judgmental. So there is a difference between judging the unrepented sinner and being judgmental. So being judgmental means that one has a critical spirit that only looks for the bad in people, and then it is quick to condemn them when it is found. So that's not God's intent in coming to this world. So God will judge the world, but only those who have not accepted Jesus. Because the Bible says that those who accept Jesus, they don't go through this. So they are judged, but it's a good news about the judgment. So it's that's a great news for everyone who accepts this amazing gift of God in Jesus, that no one should perish. No one. And the last truth that we find in this verse, it's in the last four words that we have here. God's love is beneficial. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. So there is a very interesting story about a study at the Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore 50 years ago. More than 50 years ago. So a young professor assigned his class to do a project to go to downtown slums and to interview 200 people and try to predict what was going to happen to them in the future based on their conversation with those people. And when they came back with their study after the interviews, the students predicted that 90% of those people that they interviewed would spend some time in prison in the future. So 25 years passed. And the same professor asked another class to track down the original boys of their first interview to discover what happened to them. And they were able to find 180 of those 200. And they found out that only four of them had spent any time in jail. So, and their predictions were completely wrong. And they were trying to do like a more research, more study about that, and they found a common factor. That over 200 of those boys, they were interviewed 25 years ago. They had a common factor. It was a strong influence of a teacher that helped them, and they were able to locate that teacher, a 70-year-old lady that was in a nursing home in another city, and she was very puzzled by people coming to ask her questions about something that happened so many years ago, and then she said, all I had to do was to love each one of them. And that made the difference. So this is power of love. When we are able to love people, love changes everything. So if that is the result of being loved with an imperfect human love, what must be the results of being loved by a perfect divine love? So as the result of this teacher's love, each of those boys had a life. But as a result of God's love, each one of us can have eternal life. So that's the impact of the love of God in our lives. So I want to conclude this message with a story. So years ago, a young man had a fight, a quarrel with his father, and he left. So probably you have heard this story. But after leaving his home, after some time, he had a strong desire to come back for Christmas, to spend time with his mother, to spend time with his father. He repented of the things that he said to his father. And he was writing letters to his mother, and his mother was saying, you can come back home. It's okay. There is no problem. But that young man was not sure that his father had forgiven him. And the mother said, you can come back. But finally, there was no more time for letters. So Christmas was coming. And the mother just asked, wrote a last letter saying, I'm going to talk with your father. So you can come. I will talk with him. And if you see a white cloth on the tree close to our home, as you come home by train, you're going to be we will know that your father has had forgiven you and you can come home. So the young man accepted that. So, and he started his trip going back home. And as the train drew near his home, he was so nervous. He was not sure if his father had forgiven him. So there was a friend traveling with him, and he said, well, I cannot bear to look. I don't know if I can bear the idea of not being forgiven by my father. So please sit here in my place and look out the window. I will tell you exactly how the tree looks like close to my father's home, my parents' home, which is close to the railroad tracks. So if you see a white cloth, just let me know. I will close my eyes because I don't want to see it. So, and then they change places. And after some time, the friend said, yes, I see the tree that you described. And the son that was coming back home said, is there a white cloth tied to it? And for a moment, that friend didn't say anything. But then he turned and said, in a very gentle voice, there is a white cloth tied to every limb of that tree. You can go home. So in some sense, that's exactly what God did to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the white cloth our Heavenly Father tied to the tree. The tree, the cross of Calvary. Just to let us know, to remind us that we are safe to go home. That we are safe because of His love. And this is, in a nutshell, the summary of what John chapter 3, verse 16 says. And my prayer is that as we scratch the surface of God's love, as we spend time studying God's word, as we meditate, especially in the final scenes of Jesus' sacrifice, we may understand this unconditional, sacrificial, valuable, personable, accessible, no judgmental and beneficial love of God for us, who is willing to come to our level, to love us, not because of what we have done, the good things that we have done, but because He loves us unconditionally. So, and that's my prayer this morning for us. So let's close our message.